Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Bridget Kay. This half hour is presented by Empathic Practice, and they are responsible for the opinions expressed during this show.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday, and welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel, and welcome back to the radio show, Dr. Cassandra from Empathic Practice. How are you doing today?
Hello, I'm great.
You know, it already made it like a happy Friday that we're both wearing our animal print.
Right.
I have like this favorite shirt that I wear, I don't know, and it's like a leopard print, and you have the same. We walked in, we're like, we are completely matching.
Totally.
I love it. We are on the same wavelength already.
Tina vibes.
I love it. Well, I do want to invite our listeners again. If you have any questions, we're going to be talking about a plethora of things today, and it's very important. So we do encourage our listeners throughout the program, if you do have a question or a comment on anything that we are mentioning, the number to call or text is 850-437-1620. 850-437-1620 is the number to call or text for that. So tell us a little bit about what you've been up to. I know that Empathic Practice is looking to make a move pretty soon, which is very exciting.
Yeah, right now we're on Cervantes near 9th, and we're going to be heading more into the heart of East Hill on 12th, where we've got this eclectic vibe popping up. And so we're going to be over there, a bigger space, and just something that's going to be more conducive to all of the cool offerings that we have.
Yeah, and you guys have so many different offerings, and we're going to get into a lot of women's health today, which I think is so important. But can you kind of just, you know, skim the surface on what Empathic Practice does? I mean, what services do you offer to people?
Sure. Well, I do natural health and wellness from a number of different modalities. There's also more holistic mental health care. There is coaching, meditation and mindset coaching. And there are a number of services that basically complement and enhance our take on wellness.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it is so important now more than ever to take care of yourself in all aspects of your life. And one of those that's, you know, the biggest is your mental health. And I mean, even if you don't think you struggle with anxiety or depression, I mean, just a day to day to kind of channel your energy is so important for everybody. So I do encourage everybody, if you can and if you want to, I mean, contact Empathic Practice. That can be your first start. They can do an evaluation and teach you about meditation and all of the holistic ways to do things. So give them a call, check them out on the web for sure. But I do want to kind of dive right into what we're going to talk about today. Women's health. We know it's very stressful to be a mother, to be a woman in general. I mean, right now it can be, you know, a lot in your day to day, but especially in 2020. And I know this week is some kids are back in school right now. Kids are starting school next week. So it could be a lot of stress. And I know you have some advice for some moms.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that women tend to do the unseen and definitely unpaid work that kind of moves the gears of society along. And that in and of itself is stressful. But right now with the pandemic and with homeschooling and everything else, our workload has quintupled. You know, there's just so much to do. And even though a support system and family support is and community support is very important, there are other things that we can do that can sort of move things along. And one of those is routine. And I like to call a lot of what I do biohacking. And it's just making the most of what our body was designed to do and what our environment has for us. So one thing that I've been really urging parents to do lately is the few hours that we have to ourselves, we generally put them at the end of the day. So like we put the kids to bed and then we'll plop down on the couch and, you know, watch something that's comforting or interesting or whatever. And I would really urge folks to make the move to free time at the beginning of the day. So try to go to bed early, but then wake up, you know, before the crack of dawn, and take those hours for yourself when you have the most energy and the most vitality, and use it to meditate or to do exercise or to make your list for the day or plan it out, you know, just something that's going to be more meaningful.
Yeah. I mean, that is something, I'm not a mom yet, but that's something that I have always tried to do is wake up early. I mean, during the pandemic is kind of my sleep schedule was a little thrown out of whack. So I'm still trying to get back to this, but it does make the biggest difference waking up just an hour earlier. And even if you want to work out or just take some time to yourself, I mean, drinking water and just like sitting outside in your yard for, I mean, 20 minutes can make the biggest difference.
You know, it's funny that you say that. There's actually a lot of science going into exactly what you said, sitting outside for 20 minutes. It's called the nature pill. And the university
I didn't even know this.
Yes, yeah. So you're following some very relevant instinct there. The University of Michigan is actually putting a lot of research into this. And sitting outside for 20 minutes and just observing nature, no talking, no tech. That's a big one. And just seeing the green of the trees and the blue of the sky and trying not to engage with your narrative voice inside your mind and just observing the world for what it is. And it's actually shown to lower cortisol levels, which is our stress hormone, and to impact our wellness overall.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so important to do that. And do you have any like tips for people? Because I feel like it can be so difficult for people to turn off that narrative. You know, even when you have time for yourself in the morning, just because you're thinking, okay, I have to get the kids up, I have to make their lunch, I have to do this,
right.
I gotta accomplish all this today, and if I don't, then I'm gonna have to put it to tomorrow, and then that's gonna stress me out anymore. Do you have any, you know, kind of tips or ways to kind of calm that anxiety in the morning and turn off that little voice that's in your head?
Well, meditation has shown, you know, really positive results as far as that goes. And then also just catching yourself. Our neurology sort of works like trails, you know. You can picture pioneers like macheting through, you know, through a field and like blazing a trail. Or the if you walk down the woods on a certain path, that path becomes more clearly forged. And so it's just like that. When you catch yourself, you know, just in your mind going over things, stop yourself and then just observe what your hands are doing. Observe what, you know, what your, the space around you, and that will create a different path. That will set that machete going down, you know, that other way. And that's how the brain works overall. The more that we do something, the stronger it will become.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important. How do you, you know, meditation is becoming something that's a lot more people are using, but I think some people don't know, you know, where to start. You know, they hear the word meditate and they're like, what does that mean? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, something we've all heard of, but you don't really know if you're doing it right. I don't know if I'm saying that in the right terms, but
I definitely understand.
Yeah, I'm like, do I give myself like words of affirmation? Am I supposed to like pray? Is it like, what kind of, you know, is it? How can people get started?
Well, it's interesting that you say pray, because something, I'll start by saying this. Meditation was extremely hard for me when I first started, and it still is sometimes. My brain is very chatty.
Same.
Yeah. I mean, I will have like my to-do list and then like a song in the background and then a mistake that I made 3 years ago, like all cycling on repeat. So, but what helped me personally was a mantra meditation, but that's not going to be the same for everybody. And at Empathic Practice, Felipe's really great at setting people up with meditation that's functional for them or that works for them and their, you know, type of mind. He's an expert in that. I will say for me personally, mantra meditation really works, or even listening to a guided meditation like on YouTube. And then once my brain has done that enough, then I can kind of get to the silent spaces. But to get back to prayer, something that really clicked for me once was somebody said, if prayer is talking to God, meditation is listening to God.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's powerful.
Yeah.
I know. And it's something that we should all, I mean, try. I know, I mean, there's so much going on. Like we were saying at the beginning of the show with, you know, it's back to school. It's an election year. I mean, we have the virus. There are social things everybody's talking about
so
now.
Much.
It's then we see these hurricanes possibly coming towards us. So it can be very stressful, and taking time for yourself and thinking, oh my gosh, I have to do this, 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 and this. And when am I going to have time for myself? But it's taking those morning hours instead of, you know, at night when you're already drained and you've you've already given all of your energy for the day.
Correct.
Absolutely. Well, I do want to also move into some other things that we wanted to talk about today. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Dr. Cassandra from Empathic Practice. If you want to join in on the conversation or ask a question, that number is 850-437-1620. 850-437-1620. You can give us a call, or you can also text in your question at that number as well. But you wanted to talk a little bit about postpartum.
Oh, yeah. That's a passion of mine. And it began with my own postpartum experience. I have two children. I had the first one in med school, and my...
Wow.
Yeah.
And my husband, that's not stressful.
Yeah. Well, I took a year off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, but it was stressful in that I was seeing really sad things happen with other people and learning about, you know, really intense situations while I've got my own thing. So it happens with medical students all the time where it's like, do I have, you know, leprosy or mm-hmm. do I, you know,
I mean, it happens with me. I just sure. Google something and then, you know, I have a flesh eating disease when it's really like a zit. Yeah,
exactly. So that part was great, but I had a lot of support and I was in another country that's very community oriented. So I got to experience that level of support and that level of care. And my husband was the stay at home parent when I went back to school. So I really felt how important that was, especially when I compared it to my second birth and postpartum experience, where we were in a very different situation. It was just me taking care of myself with not as much support and a very hurried sort of lifestyle. My eldest child had started school, so I was like in the car line and getting mm-hmm. the baby crying and, you know, that kind of stuff that seems normal to us or that we're adapted to being normal, but that really kind of takes a toll on us. So I was also starting this master's program in Ayurvedic and integrative medicine, and I was learning about the things that I should actually be doing and that I wasn't doing. And so just, you know, implementing those changes and seeing the difference that it made in myself and then kind of reaching further with that, I realized how essential it is for everybody to have proper traditional postpartum care after having a baby.
And what are some of those, you know, different practices? I know being a new mom can be so overwhelming. I mean, like we were talking about, in every with every child you have comes different challenges,
right?
Like you were saying, the first one, I mean, you had that support, and then the second one, it just looked, you had support but it looked a little differently,
right?
So what are some of those ways that, you know, moms can channel that energy and kind of be prepared for what's to come, if you can even be prepared? I mean, again, I'm not a mom, so I don't know.
Well, I think you can be prepared, and it's interesting because I heard somebody once say that we prepare for the wedding but not the marriage. We prepare for the birth but not the postpartum period. And really what happens after the big celebration or the big event is so much more impacting. There's a saying in traditional Ayurvedic medicine that the first 42 days after birth impact the next 42 years of life for both mom and baby. And yeah.
My eyes just got wide. Oh, geez.
Yeah. And it really kind of sets the tone on this new chapter in, you know, in our family's lives. And so making sure that we are adequately, properly nourished, that we're taking care of our bodies, like just things like keeping our feet warm and the impact that has on our circulatory system. A lot of traditions, especially in the global South, have maintained a lot of the things that many theorize were used all over the world. So belly binding helps our organs get back into place. It's called yoni steaming or V-steaming or perineum steaming. Also helps to heal after a natural birth. And there's just so many little things that our grandmothers and great-grandmothers did and that we sort of... you know, dismissed. Mm-hmm. And we're finding that they're really essential, especially in terms of not just overall physical health, but also mental health. So postpartum mood disorders, postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety. Yeah,
I think all those probably happen more often than we think with the postpartum depression and anxiety. And I think a lot of people are kind of And I don't, again, I'm not a mom, so I don't know, but I would think that would be a hard thing for me to admit that I was experiencing, because it is supposed to be, you know, this big, amazing thing. Like, I had a baby and you're getting all this attention, but I don't think some people really sympathize with what can be going on with the mom.
Well, and I think that two things can be true. I think that it is true that it can be a wonderful, beautiful experience, mm-hmm. and that it can also be draining and sleep depriving and, you know, really challenging, especially when we don't have those support systems that we were adapted to over millennia, with like the mother and the grandmother and the aunties and the sisters and everybody taking care of us and focusing. You know, I've heard some people talk about mothering the mother, and or referring to, you know, postpartum as a newborn mother, who also requires that same level of care.
Yeah. And kind of moving into that, I mean, when you become a mom, it just doesn't, you know, stop. You're always constantly going and going. And then after your maternity leave, then you filter in your job if you're working. Right. And then you have to filter in going to school or taking your kids to school and doing all the things that moms are supposed to do, being a part of this organization and volunteering here and there and there. And it's sometimes hard to have that, you know, work, life, family balance and just in a normal day. But I think now that we have, you know, the virus and we don't know what's going on with getting back to school, and we don't know what's, you know, going on with all of these things, kind of the unknown can be very triggering. So what are some ways that, you know, moms can have a better, you know, work-life balance, and not only moms, but women in general?
I would say that the first thing is going to be routine. And at the foundation of any routine is going to be sleep. So making sure that you have adequate sleep, because that is when every tissue in your body repairs itself. It's when your mind repairs itself. And if you don't have enough, they're just running on empty. And so I would start there, and also routine in general. And especially like if kids have a good routine, like we're not the only ones who will benefit, but if children have a good routine, then their behavior will demonstrate that, and they will feel safe and secure, and you're not going to have to repeat yourself as many times, and just everything is going to be less stressful. So I'd say that routine is like the biggest thing. And if you can find a good one that works for your family, and it doesn't have to be perfect and it can adapt, but just to have that as the foundation, then you can build up from there.
Mm-hmm. And when you say routine, I mean, it doesn't have to be like strictly every day we're eating dinner at this time and then you're going to go to bed and I'm going to do that. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, the same exact things every day, because life happens.
Exactly.
But just having those kind of, you know, foundations like in place.
Yeah. And just to know what to expect. So then you're also not, you know, scattering your resources, your energetic resources to the wind, and you know what to expect, and it's comforting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, it doesn't need to be like militaristic in the sense where you're like fighting about it.
I know. I've babysat for some families. I remember when I was growing up and in high school, and like there would be just like this itinerary of like, you know, this time, this time, this time, this time. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, are these kids or are we building an army here? Like, I had no idea. So it doesn't, I mean, every family's different, but I mean, whatever works, but it doesn't always have to be like that when you think of routine.
No, it doesn't need to be like the Von Trapp family and the Sound of Music.
Literally. I know. Literally. That's what it was. Wow. That's great. But no, just something that can, you know, keep your family balanced.
Yeah, exactly.
And it makes a difference. And you mentioned how important sleep is. And I know we all know that. I mean, it's our biggest fuel. Do you have any like holistic ways that, I mean, I sometimes have a hard time going to sleep, and I think it's because my mind runs or, you know, whatever. But are there any like holistic ways, like oils or anything like that you promote for better sleep, or ways that people can achieve that good night's rest?
Yeah. And it depends on the person. So there's like sleep onset insomnia, where folks have a hard time falling asleep, or there is sleep maintenance insomnia, where you're waking up in the middle of the night. That's more me.
Yeah, that happens to me too.
Yeah. And so there's different ways to approach all of those things, but at the end of the day, what we really want to make sure is that we have an adequate melatonin and serotonin balance. And so serotonin, you're going to really want to, that routine is going to come in key here too. And if you can enjoy those early morning hours and like get sunshine, like I know people who refer to it as waking up the house. So you wake up, you open all the blinds, and you just kind of prepare the day, let the sunshine come in. If you can go outside and get sunshine on your skin as soon as you wake up or as soon as the sun is up, that's also ideal. It just kind of lets the cells in your body know that, like, okay, it's go time. Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then the opposite is true at night. Make sure that it's as dark as possible as soon as the sun starts going down, because we kind of live outside of our natural context right now with artificial light. And that's really thrown a lot of people off. So I'd say that that's a good starting point for anybody. Also, for when people wake up in the middle of the night, what you want to do is train your body to know that your bed is for sleep. So if you've been trying for maybe 20 minutes, and you don't have to look at your phone or your clock or whatever, you can guesstimate. If you're sitting there and you have not fallen back to sleep, get out of bed, go read a book, or just try to meditate in another room of the house or do something, and you'll probably fall back asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's something that I've been free, like, more recently this has been happening to me, to where I go to bed like kind of early, go to bed at like 9:30, 10, honestly, and then I wake up at like 2 and I like can't go back to sleep. So I will go and like lay on the couch, fall asleep. Just because I like I'm in a new, like, I guess, environment. Like, I don't know what it is, but that really does work. And then I mosey back into my bed.
Perfect. Yeah.
It's like a weird new thing that's been happening, but it happens almost maybe like twice a week.
Yeah.
I don't know what it, I guess it's normal.
It can be, and it's a normal response. Mm-hmm. To just the stressors in our lives and myriad factors, but just kind of training your bed instead of like waking up in the night and just like scrolling, you know, getting on your phone and scrolling. That's not how we fix that at all.
Yeah. So literally it's so important to have a routine, and it doesn't always have to be, you know, so militant like we were talking about. Right. But I mean, I even find myself, I mean, having that nightly routine, just, you know, always, you know, using that lavender lotion on my hands doing different things like that. It really does help. And I know, like, if you haven't practiced things like this, it can sound like, how can that help me so much? But it really does have such an effect on you. And if you do need to learn some of these practices and going to see Dr. Cassandra, are you still taking some in-person patients?
Yeah, definitely. Certainly, you know, with social distancing and like mask protocol and that sort of thing in the office. I also offer online consultations, but in-person consultations as well.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Just making sure, you know, masking and making sure that everybody's taking the great safety precautions. Are you guys doing any like telehealth or anything like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So plenty of ways that you can get help for anything that's going on in your life at Empathic Practice. If you need meditation help or mindset coaching, I definitely encourage you to give them a call at Empathic Practice. I'm so excited for you guys to be moving locations onto 12th Avenue, but right now they're at 801 East Cervantes Street. So you can definitely check them out there. As soon as you walk in, I'm telling you, you're already going to feel better.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot going on in the world, and we know we need to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of our families. And if you are a mom or a woman, you know, it really... I know I'm a little biased because I'm a girl, but you are the foundation of the family. That's what I think. And you need to really take care of yourself. And it's easier said than done sometimes.
So true.
But whenever you're, you know, flipped into a routine, and it really can make all of the difference. And if you're, you know, about to have a baby, it's really important to do all of these things, or just had a baby or anything like that. And we know it's crazy with back to school and with COVID and with the election and with, you know, whatever's going on in your family, everything's relative, but taking that time for yourself is super, super important. Is there anything else that you want to add about anything?
You know, I wanted to mention one thing I'd forgotten. Chamomile tea.
Ooh,
at bedtime. Yeah, it's a relaxant. It's wonderful. Everybody stock up.
Stock up on a chamomile tea.
Yeah.
I love it. Or, yeah, I also love like lemon, like gingery type. I don't know what that does for you.
That's great in the morning for detox. Chamomile is great at night because it's sleep promoting and relaxing. And it also is digestive.
And this is something, is it okay to take melatonin?
Ooh, that's a big question. Our body produces melatonin. So if you can make your body produce more melatonin and not take the stuff as a supplement, you won't become dependent on it, and you're just be better off. If you need it in a pinch, yeah. But it's like five times the what comes in the store is five times the amount that our body really needs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then you become
I gotta throw out those gummies that I have. I'm like, I'm safer. I'm taking this melatonin, but
Your body becomes dependent on it because your brain goes, oh, we've already got that. We don't need to make it.
See, I love having all this free this counseling session right here on the air. You can figure out my problems. I have a melatonin issue. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Cassandra. It's always a pleasure. Check her out at Empathic Practice. If you miss any part of this segment, it's going to be available on our News Radio 92.3 website or anywhere that you stream your content. It's always a pleasure. We have Lacoste Construction coming up next, but first we're checking in with Mark.
And we're now tracking Tropical Storm Laura. We'll have the latest coming up after Fox News.